It's Friday, September 16th, and you are tuned into Artbeat on CICK 93.9 FM in Smithers, British Columbia. I'm your host, Colleen Sharp. Today on Artbeat, a musical metaphor for healing your life. With me in studio is pianist, composer, recording artist, motivational speaker, and now author, Serge Mazarand. He is the creator of multiple CDs of healing music released under the private label Keys to Serenity, and he's been a keynote player at health and wellness conferences across Canada, including Calgary's The New Earth Expo. 20 years ago, Serge Mazarand made a radical lifestyle change when he immigrated from France to build and operate a floating salmon fishing resort on the north coast of British Columbia. He now lives in the Bulkley Valley on the banks of a river where he plays the piano, composes, writes, and fly fishes. This Saturday, September 17th, at the Old Church in Smithers, Serge Mazarand officially launches his book, Seven Keys to Serenity, Creating Harmony Within. Right now, he is here with me in the CICK studio. Welcome, Serge.
Hello.
I can
hardly believe that I did all this when you said, when you told me about, or you told your audience about all I did in my previous life.
I haven't even scratched the surface of what you've done. And I found, Serge, in researching you, that you are very modest about how you present yourself. I had to cobble together, in a way, some of the wonderful things you did, because no one of your bios that's listed is sufficient to truly...
Really? I did this on purpose, I think. I reduced my bios quite a bit.
And, yeah.
Just to give an idea to people what I did, I guess.
I think you're very humble.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Is it? Well, I guess
maybe I should expand it.
I guess we should. Yeah, well, today we're going to find out all about you.
And
the first thing is your new book. Tell us about that.
Well, that's exciting, yes. That's
hot off the press, you literally said to me.
Just about 5 days ago, I picked it up in Prince George. And as I mentioned to you earlier, it seemed like a drawn-out pregnancy. 3 years, a long time.
And what did I tell you?
And you said it's not. So,
no.
But to me, it really seemed to be a long, long time. And to be quite frank, there were a few attempts of abortion during those 3 years. But I kind of carried away, and I'm very happy to have brought it to fruition. And now the butterfly has come out of the cocoon.
Yes, and that's a perfect symbol to use, because on the cover of your book, you have this very beautiful image of a butterfly sitting on a piano keyboard.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really clean and bright image. I quite
Thank
like
you.
That. You're welcome. I'm curious, though. The Bulkley Valley nature here has inspired you greatly as one reads this book. So why a butterfly and not, say, a hummingbird or some other... butterflies, of course, are local as well, but why the butterfly in particular?
Well, the butterfly is a symbol of transformation. A lot of what I write about in my book is about transformation, personal transformation, of course, to help people transform themselves and recreate themselves. I guess this is very important in life, to realize that we can do that, that we are creators, and that we can recreate ourselves, especially if we are not happy with who we are.
Yes, and in your book, you use a description I quite like. In your final chapter, you talk about God, and you talk about God as an acronym for guidance on demand, talking about finding God within ourselves and that we are all powerful beings.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I bring that up in particular right now, because I quite like the idea that you talk about, you draw a parallel about God is the mysterious composer. And I think that, in a way, sums up your book, because we're talking about a musical metaphor, a musical analogy to how you can fix your life, how you can see life through
Einstein,
music.
Einstein called them, or called it, or whatever you want to call God, the invisible piper. And so, I was inspired to talk about the mysterious composer. Now, of course, to be perfectly clear, everybody has his or her own idea of faith. You know, I didn't mean to antagonize people who go to church or whatever. And what I think is that whatever faith you have or somebody has is okay, as long as you really internalize it and you are honest about it. That's not something that is imposed on you. If you feel that faith in your guts, in your being, no matter who conditioned you or didn't, then you're okay. And that's what faith is. So what I'm talking about is this inner force, call it God force or something else, if you don't like the word God. I use it quite often, although I don't go to church, but I think that there is something out there, that a force that makes us bigger than what we suspect we are, really. And when you connect into that force, into that energy, you can achieve many things you thought you could never do before.
You also have a chapter in this book on discipline, is another of the topics. Yeah. So, I mean, but God is not, I mean, that is also helpful, that concept of God as not disciplinarian, but the idea of a greater power that guides us, to have faith in our own guidance, in that self-guidance.
Absolutely.
And you actually draw a great parallel in that chapter to technology and how GPS imaging, if you know, you wouldn't leave on some trip into the unknown without your GPS
Absolutely.
Turned on.
Absolutely. Everything is on demand nowadays.
Yes.
Why wouldn't we connect on demand with,
yes.
with that force.
Right? Yes.
And so the real problem actually nowadays is that we get distracted too much. That's the thing that I talk about in my book at some length. It's you know, the distraction and the need to come back into awareness, right? Especially with the technology, with iPhones and iPads, and all that. We spend our time in those devices practically. Most people, not everybody, fortunately.
For me, the two things that stand out as themes in your book, obviously music, and we'll get to that in a minute,
right.
about what you've done here, but also nature. And so it's interesting
yeah.
when I think about the noise, also the noise of society. So when we think of the traffic noise and the computers and all of the things as this,
yeah.
then even just how do we focus ourselves to hear a pure song in our lives when there's so much noise around us?
Well, this is the challenge. And of course, you have a lot of techniques that are available, like meditation. And not everybody is blessed like me to be isolating himself or herself in a log house along a river, right? The challenge is to isolate yourself in any environment where you are, whether you are in Tokyo or Vancouver or in the traffic, and bring forward that power to meditate, to breathe. There are, of course, a lot of techniques. One of them is to become aware of your breathing patterns and to breathe, to disconnect. And that's really the crux of the matter, to be able to disconnect from your, what I call the autopilot mode, in
yes.
which we are most of the time. And so this doesn't happen just like that. It's a process that you learn. And that's why I mentioned in my book, too, that this is work. This is not easy. This is a process that you have to undertake. You're either ready to do it or you're not.
Yes.
In my case, it took almost 60 years to do it.
Yes. You speak of also the music. You played music as a child, and then
I did, yeah.
you came away from it, and then you went back to
yeah.
it.
Yeah, so the interesting thing
yeah.
is that I was, how should I say that? I was immersed very early at age 5 in music, thanks to my parents who bought me piano. And also in nature, because they taught me how to fish. There was a lake not far away from the house. So I spent a great part of my childhood in that magic, which is music and nature. And in fact, music and nature are the same.
So
in a way,
you right. haven't taken all this time to discover yourself. You're just rediscovering what you knew a long time ago.
That's right. Absolutely.
Yes.
I forgot.
Yes.
I got distracted in a big time.
Now
big time, in a big way.
You said something just now. You said about it's a practice, and you say that in your book. You say life, like music, is a skill that takes practice, discipline, and repetition.
Yeah.
I like that.
Mm-hmm.
I like that analogy a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the book now, for the people, there's a really lovely thing you've done with the book, and that is a direct connection to music. So I think musicians, we have so many musicians in the valley here,
mm-hmm.
I think they will really resonate with this. And there's another musical word, and you speak about how we are so connected to musical terms in our lives. We are so aware of that. You speak in your book about the brain is like a keyboard and the mind is like a composer. And you talk about what kind of music do you want to create for your life. And then what you've done is you've translated the seven core keys of music, so A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, yeah, like on a piano, into seven words.
Well, yeah? Absolutely. Yeah? There are in fact, seven core notes, right? A, B, C, D, F, and G. These seven notes are at the core of all the music that has been created by Bach, Chopin, Liszt, I mean, all the musicians and the composers in the Western world, that is, right? And so, in the beginning, I playfully tried to transpose, because this is what creates harmony, right? And so I tried to transpose these seven keys, notes, keys, into key words. And that became the structure of my book. So we're not going to disclose all of them.
No,
here.
We want people to get the book.
But
yeah.
my most important key, in fact, is the key of A, which stands for awareness. So A is a real master key, and interesting enough, when you have an orchestra that starts playing, that is the key that is sounded by the oboe to bring all the musicians together, right? A, right? So A stands for awareness, and awareness is absolutely fundamental in our lives. Right? But call it consciousness or call it mindfulness, it's all the same, right?
Mm-hmm. So, as you wrote the book, you were in a process of self-discovery yourself?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, as I mentioned that in the book, it started with a playful exercise in transposition, and then I suddenly realized that I was not aligning myself with what I was writing in the book, right? So I kind of obliged myself to do just that. And so, in fact, the whole process became a process of deep transformation, personal transformation.
You speak quite personally in the book in sections that happen throughout, are repeated in the chapters.
The interludes.
Mm-hmm. And they're written in italics, and they are almost, like, you don't name names per se,
no.
But they are very personal reflections.
Well, it's written in the third person, and of course the readers will soon discover it was me. Yeah, it was an interesting... This is how I perceived it. I didn't feel like writing it in the first person. And it was almost like observing from high up, you know, myself in a different life. Mm. So it was a very, very interesting process.
So if you were the composition, you were looking at yourself almost like sheet music, I wonder. I found very interesting about your book, Serge, is that you have a bibliography in here, and I'm grateful for that as a sort of former academic. I always look first to the back and see, right, who is this guy basing all of this on?
I was not going to do that, but I had some friends who strongly advised me to do it. And, you know, every author looks at this with kind of, fears doing it, because it's not easy to do.
Right.
It's the worst part of the whole book.
That's great. It's not fun.
And for editors as well, interestingly enough.
But I'm interested in the sources that you list in there. For example, Oliver Sacks, the great doctor and writer,
who
Music
passed away
Ophelia.
Recently, yeah.
He did very recently, talking of tales of of music in the brain.
Yeah.
You list Carl Jung, you list physicists, for heaven's sakes. Mm. Max Planck, the father of quantum theory. Mm-hmm. Very interested in your aligning of physics and science along with this.
Yes, because I speak about the subtle energy of things. When you speak about subtle energy, like subtle music, which is sound and vibrations and frequencies and waves, you cannot help but at one point go into quantum theory. But it is not as complicated as people, you know, think. You have a lot of people who will tell you, oh, quantum, it's too complicated, I don't even want to talk about it. It's very simple. It's just about vibration. Everything is about vibration. And once we understand that, then we start to look at life in a different way, and we're not going to walk through the China store of life like a bull anymore. But I love this expression. It's a Buddhist monk who said that, kiss the earth with your feet.
Yes.
And this is very important. So, the subtle energy is just around us. So what matters really is not matter. It's what is in between.
Mm-hmm. People will have to think about that statement. Mm-hmm. That's a very, very deep statement
it
to
is,
ponder.
Yeah.
I think it's important that you talk about this. In a way, your book, it is personal reflection, for sure. It is your theory of music as a metaphor for self-awareness and healing in your life and how to self-discover. But this book also is an introduction to a lot of New Age ideas about how, like, chakras and vibration and things that I think people are becoming more and more interested in as well. So there's a great deal to gain from this book if people have different kinds of interests.
Oh, absolutely.
I would say.
Yeah, but there's ideas in there which I haven't invented. I just expanded on them and took, as you said, a musical perspective on them. But as I point out in the beginning of the book, we are all musicians by nature. Right? We don't have to play an instrument per se. Right? We have two instruments within us, which are very important, which is the brain and the heart. Heart being even more important than the brain.
That's true.
The heart is your metronome, right? That beats the rhythm of your emotions. And so if you're in touch with your heart, you have come a long way.
Well, I think you're onto something, too, in a great line of music as something that's been seen now as a science for healing, for not just recently, but thousands of years. In fact, now music therapy is an allied health profession that is a recognized profession in British
Absolutely.
Columbia and around the world.
Absolutely.
And so your book touches on that in the sense of its theme. At least that, of course,
Absolutely.
It helps people with grief. We use it to treat patients with mental illness, prisoners with anxiety. We all know if we feel sad and we put upbeat music, we feel better. If we
Absolutely.
Are in sorrow, we want to listen to music to soothe us.
Absolutely. And Oliver Sacks actually said that music has a way with the brain that words cannot match, right? And you have people who are totally insensitive to anything that happens in their outer environment, in a chair, looking into the void, untouchable, just in their own world. When they hear music, they wake up. So music has a way to go somewhere beyond the cortex, and we still don't know how exactly it works. But it is a fact that nowadays, as you said, Colleen, that it's increasingly used in hospitals, in clinics, and it's just another healing modality, right, among many others.
Now, you spoke about you haven't invented some of these ideas. Some of these ideas are not new. And I like in your introduction, you speak in your book and you say, I hesitated greatly before venturing to write. Why, after all, would a performer and composer of healing music want to write about harmony and serenity? Shouldn't the music be allowed to create its own magic and the literary efforts be left to others? Mm-hmm. So what's your response to that, which you say in the book? But how would you tell people that are wondering, why would he do this?
Well, because the music does a fantastic healing job in the moment. When you listen to music, it does a fantastic job in the moment. It is a catalyst that brings forward emotions, that dissolves energy blocks within your body and your mind. But at the same time, when the music stops, you still, if you need to change, you have to do your work. So it has nothing to do with music. The music is a catalyst. In my case, I spent many years using music as a catalyst to come to grips with my own emotions. But at one point, I realized that I had to write. I had to make notes and I had to write. And this came only after a lot of meditation along the river. And so that's how I decided to write a book. Although I'm not a writer by profession, so it was a big challenge for me.
Now, speaking of the music, you're launching your book officially tomorrow, Saturday, the 17th of September, at the Old Church in Smithers.
Yep.
Now, tell me about that, because you'll be performing as well. Is that correct?
I will. But again, it's not about music per se. I will be performing on the piano, and I'm excited to. I am excited for many reasons. I'm excited that, first of all, we are going to give the donations to Orchestra North, which is a fantastic organization headed by Roxy Dijkstra. And I'm excited to have Roxy participate as well, because I just admire her, and she's a wonderful musician. We will have also Simone Hug, who is equally a wonderful performer. And we have Anaïs Labonte, who is a young girl, extremely talented, multi-talented martial arts practitioner and a musician as well. And so in case people wonder why I would have a martial arts practitioner in a music event, is again because we are going to speak about awareness and subtle energies, and God knows that you have to use those in martial arts, karate or whatever, right? So it's going to be fascinating. It's actually not going to be about our music, because it's going to be about the music of the audience.
And you're going, and Simone Hug will also, you say, talk about insights on homeopathy. So
exactly.
I think that's, and resonance between a remedy in our bodies and minds.
Absolutely.
You know,
this is absolutely fascinating.
It is. And your book is being launched, lest we not forget. That's the important part, that your book will be there for people to purchase,
yeah, yeah,
and that you will sign it for people.
Absolutely.
And so for sure people will be able to talk to you about that and
yeah,
to meet you. Sometimes I don't know if we really appreciate it in Smithers, the opportunity we have here to engage with musicians and authors directly as we do.
Well, there's a lot of talent here, and it's mind-boggling. There's an energy here that seems to attract people.
It attracted you all the way from France?
Well, yes and no. I had a fishing lodge before and was stationed in the ocean, and when I drove back from Prince Rupert and Kitimat to Vancouver, where we had our offices, I drove through Smithers. And every time I drove through Smithers, my heart started beating. It's a very interesting story, very synchronistic. And I guess that's the same kind of attraction and resonance that other people have felt compared to other areas in the world. I can tell you very quickly that I've been traveling quite a bit, and Smithers and this whole valley is very, very, very special.
I agree with you. I have also
and you
been
too.
Yes,
and
around the world, and
absolutely.
I agree. There is an energy in Smithers that I have never seen the likes of, certainly in any small town of this nature,
that's
let alone any large town.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yes,
absolutely.
Quite
yeah,
special.
Yeah.
All right, so we have some of your music here as well that we're going to play. I think probably the thing that we should do is play that to end the show, so we can leave that with the people, because look, the clock has flown by, as it always does on this show. We haven't even begun to scratch the surface of the ideas. But going back to your book, let me ask you about the lost chord. Without ruining it for people that are going to buy your book and be delighted, can you tell me a little bit about the lost chord that you speak about in your book?
Well, it is simple and quite complicated at the same time. I believe it's something that we keep looking for during our whole life. And some will never find it. And it's very difficult to find. So is it serenity? Is it harmony? I think it's even more profound than that. The lost chord is deep love. It's unconditional love, which is very difficult to find. Right? We all talk, we say, well, I love you, I love you, I love you. Not just romantic love, but we say, I love you, I love this. But, you know, we always have these expectations. And the last chord, I think, is that sense of profound love, of true compassion. And once we find this within ourselves, and I guess we can find it within ourselves, and then the more people find this within themselves, the more it will create momentum, and then hopefully one day the whole world will have found it. This may be a dream, but there's certainly lots of work to do.
On that note, I will say once again, I will thank you, Serge Mazarin, for coming into CICK studio today.
Deep pleasure.
Oh, you've been talking Colin. To me this brief, wonderful little moment here on Artbeat. I am your host here on Artbeat, Colleen Sharp. And if you want to know more about this book, this wonderful book called Seven Keys to Serenity, Creating Harmony Within. More importantly, if you want to know what does it take to create a beautiful, harmonious life symphony, then you want to look at this book. It's a wonderful survey of different ideas of New Age thinking about energy, awareness, and it's done in a manner that has such a lovely musical metaphor that if you're at all interested in music, I think you'll want to see how Serge has constructed his book and his beautiful reflections that are very personal. I would actually almost say that they approach the way of writing of Paulo Coelho in terms of your reflections being a very personal and descriptive, lovely form of writing. So I think you're welcome. Yes, and I know that's quite a high compliment, and I am a huge fan of Paulo Coelho.
Wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that for people, it's not just any one thing, this book. It is very multi-layered, probably like a great symphony or composition. And so it's no surprise to me that you are a composer and musician because you echo that in your style of writing. Okay.
Thank you, Colleen. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. You're sincerely welcome. Now, if you'd like to hear Serge perform, as well as Roxy Dykstra, and we said also two other performers, they will be tomorrow night in Smithers. That's the 17th of September, 2016. You are listening here right now. This is all happening live in studio on CICK. Saturday, September 17th, go to the Old Church in Smithers.
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. That's by donation, which is just so great. Donation tickets or just go at the door, in other words, because
yeah,
it's by donation.
Yeah.
So just go there to the Old Church. All the proceeds will be going to the Orchestra North, and that's a summer music camp for summer programs.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really that's worthy cause and very appropriate cause.
Thank you.
You're welcome. That's all we have time for today, unfortunately. I will leave you with some music of Serge. Again, you've been listening to Artbeat. I've been your host, Colleen Sharp. I'd like to thank Speedy Interior Stationery on Main Street in Smithers for their sponsorship of Smithers Community Radio. Thanks to Speedy and our other great sponsors here at the station to make shows like this possible. If you have ideas for guests on Artbeat, you can email me at artbeat@smithersradio.com or check out the Facebook page. This program will re-air on Sunday at 11 a.m. And we also do have an audio archive that you can find at smithersradio.com for all past shows. Thanks for listening, everyone. And Serge, what are we going to play to say goodbye and happy weekend to everyone? What have you got for us?
Well, this is called Clair de Lune. It's probably my best-selling worldwide CD. It's a mix between the Moonlight Sonata, Beethoven, and the Clair de Lune by Debussy.
Okay.
With a lune.
And Serge, where can people get your book if they don't come to the concert tomorrow?
It will, for the time being, it's going to be sold locally at Speedy and Mountain Legal Books and New Age Insights, I believe, as well.
Okay.
And with time, it will be available on Amazon and all those online stores.
Okay, perfect. And I'll post a link to all sorts of things about Serge and his...
On my website as well.
Yeah, your website. I'll post some links for folks
Thank
to find
you.
On Artbeat. Okay, so
Thank
without
you.
Further ado, here's your beautiful music. Here we go.